Brother Rhodes is a tremendous man of God who's going to bring a message that is going to be relevant to you. The Holy Spirit's going to take his words and apply it to your heart and your life, no matter where you are at. And so I just encourage you to open up your hearts tonight and let the Lord speak to you through Brother Rhodes. God bless you, brother. Come and give us the word of God another time. Let's welcome him tonight.
God, we're going to get stronger every day. So thanks for allowing us to come here and jump back in there. We've been speaking on weekends pretty much only since the surgery, but I've had to take off quite a few Sundays and weeks because of this back surgery and recovering from it and the restriction that was put on me at first. And so thank you so much for investing in our ministry this week. We really do appreciate that. If you can imagine having to take time off from your job, and your job is completely counted upon you traveling, and we have taken off for sure 6, maybe 7 weeks out of this year so far, and we're only 3 months into this year, we really need a financial miracle, and we know that God is always our provider, and we know he's always going to do that. So thank you so much. We just got back from Honduras. Just a week ago, we praise God. How many's had a chance to go to our Facebook or our website and see the pictures from just a week ago from Honduras? Thank you. Some of you've had. Please go check those pictures out so you know what you're investing in. We're in contact with Brazil this week by Facebook, Pastor. Facebook is a great, great tool for dealing with overseas. It keeps the cost down for having to phone missionaries and national pastors and stuff, and so we're working with a great church in Brazil. For those that may not know, in Brazil there's over 16 million Assembly of God people. In America there's not even 3 million Assembly of God. So just to give you an idea, it's a very strong presence of the Assemblies of God there in Brazil, and we have an incredible opportunity to go in there to a very poor region of São Paulo, which is the main city there in Brazil, just a small city of about 20 million people, so about the size of Wilson, right? Pretty close, give or take a few million, right? But praise God. How many's had a great time this week so far? Amen? How many wants more something from God tonight? Amen? Praise the God. Man, we're just hearing great testimonies every night. We praise God for that. Thank you so much for coming. Thanks for all the kindness and generosity. We were telling Pastor tonight, you have got to be one of the most friendliest churches we have ever come across. And I've been doing this for 15 years. And the thing that my wife and I've noticed is you can't go a few feet without somebody stopping you and saying hi and talking to you. And we appreciate that. You know, a lot of times we come in and we're the outsiders. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we feel like, you know, we're in and out and nobody notices, but you are definitely a very, very friendly church. And that says a lot, because you know what? When somebody comes from the outside into the house of God, they need to feel welcome, and we have definitely felt that, and we appreciate all the kindness and the things that people have done, all the food, and we even got, babe, would you hold that up, the offering we got tonight? This is one of the most special offerings. Somebody brought this for us tonight. It is a six-pack of Dr. Pepper. Now, I have to let you know that we will be giving an altar call for those later on that haven't come over to the Dr. Pepper side. There's no Coke or Pepsi in heaven. I'm sorry. Dr. Pepper got the contract, so you might as well switch to the nectar of God. Amen. Y'all drink Dr. Pepper up here, right? I just want to tell you that Applebee's does not serve Dr. Pepper. And y'all need to write the paper about that or something. Talk to your senator or congressman. All right? This is a major issue. Well, praise God. We truly have had a good time, and we know that God's going to do something special tonight. Thank you so much for being here. Do you even realize somebody had to drive 6 hours one way to be here tonight, and somebody really went out of their way to make sure somebody could be here tonight? That's the kind of love that we need to have for people that we care about, and so open up your heart tonight. My wife's going to come and sing and bless us with another song. Would you welcome Heather as she comes one more time?
You look around and staring back at you. Another wave of doubt. Will it pull you under? You wonder. What if I'm overtaken? What if I never make it? What if no one cares? Can you hear my prayer? But when you take that first step into the unknown, you know that He won't let you go. So what are you waiting for? What do you have to lose? You're insecure. Get out and let your fear fall to the ground. No time to waste, don't wait. And don't you turn around and miss out on everything you were made for. I know you're not sure, so you'll play it safe and try to run away. But when you take that first step into the unknown, you know that He won't let you go. So what are you waiting for? What do you have to lose? Your insecurities try to alter you. You know you're made for more, so don't be afraid to lose. Your faith is all it takes. Even when it's so late, even when you're broken,
walk on the water. I love when God confirms what he's going to do. I hadn't even had a chance to talk to the worship team, and they don't know what I'm speaking on, but the very first phrase of their first worship song tonight was a confirmation, and then just the song that was just sang is another confirmation of what God wants to do. So I want you to stand, if you would, please, for the reading of God's word. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to begin reading in verse 25. How many have your amens warmed up tonight? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 14, verse 25. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Father, I thank you and I praise you for this wonderful night that we have to join together. And God, I pray that the word of God would go forth right now in such a powerful way. God, I literally pray, Lord, for the next few moments that you would grab the attention of every person that sits here in this room. God, some of them have had a crazy day. Some of them have had a chaotic day. Some of them have had a very tiring day. And Lord, I pray right now that the presence of God would just fill them and renew them right now. Lord, maybe they walked in here and they said, "God, I am so tired. I literally have nothing to give." But God, I pray, Lord, that you would just begin to touch them right where they're at. Lord, that you would begin to restore and give them energy and strength. God, maybe somebody walked in here tonight, they're not feeling well. Maybe it's a headache. Maybe it's a backache. Maybe it's a stomach ache. Maybe it's something else. Lord, we take authority over that right now, and we pray that people would feel the healing virtue of Jesus Christ flowing through their body right now. God, maybe somebody's had a rough day. Maybe it's been a difficult day. I pray, Lord, that they would know that they're in the place, Lord, that God, you're going to turn this day around for the glory and the kingdom of God. God, we thank you and we praise you in advance for what you're going to do in this altar. And we come with a mighty expectation of the supernatural to happen in this room tonight for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Before you're seated, give someone a big hug and say, "I love you." Got to say it like that. Does everybody feel loved now? Some of you, is that the first time you heard "I love you" today? Well, praise God. You got it in the house of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm gonna ask that you not be too quick to answer, okay? Everybody got that? Don't be too quick to answer. Really, really think about your answer, because how many knows we are accountable for our answers, right? And what we believe. I'm going to ask you this question. How many truly believe that today, in the end of March 2011, how many truly believe that God is still in the business of doing miracles and operating through the supernatural? I told you not to be too quick. You just jumped right in there. Now let me ask you one more time. How many truly believe that in the year 2011, still operates in the supernatural through miracles? Because if we truly believe that, then miracles should be common. Isn't it amazing that when God does a miracle, that it makes the news? It's like a big deal. I mean, did you hear? They got healed. They can see now. Cancer's gone, whatever the case may be. I'm always scratching our, isn't that what we prayed for? Isn't that what we believed in? And yet, it's a big deal. Now, don't get me wrong. We're supposed to be testifying. We're supposed to be talking about it. But I believe God wants us to get to the place where miracles are so common that when we get around other Christians and we start hearing about miracles, we're like, well, duh. I mean, come on. Isn't that what we've been believing for? Oh, is that supposed to be a big deal that the cancer's gone? Hello? We are talking about Jesus Christ here, aren't we? I want to mess some of you up with about your philosophy about miracles. Because I truly believe that some of us walked in here tonight and our philosophy about miracles is that all of us are given a few quota miracles in our life. Some of us, I believe, we think that miracles are only given out by God occasionally. And I believe sometimes in the church, we think that miracles lose their supernatural if God gives out too many. But I truly believe that God is operating in the supernatural in 2011. I truly believe that miracles there is no limit, there is no quota with God to do with miracles, and that applies to every one of us. And so many of us, I truly believe, disqualify ourselves from God ever using in the supernatural. But if we are Pentecostal and we're full of the Holy Spirit, then what is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? See, too many times I think we as Pentecostals, we got so focused for so long on only two gifts. And that was tongues and interpretation in a church service. That is so of a shallow approach about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That is so limiting what God has in store for us as people that believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, because God gave us all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit are not only operating in a church service, because that would be very limited of what it meant to be Pentecostal. And I truly believe that God wants to operate in the gifts at all times. When we're walking our high school hallways, when we're walking the hallways of our job, when we're walking the streets of our neighborhood, that God truly desires to operate in us. Now, we have to look at the story to truly learn some things about miracles and the supernatural. I love this story. We're all familiar with this probably. The time that Jesus is walking on water. Now, one of very famous stories, a famous miracle. And here are the disciples. They're in a boat. They're out there in the middle of the water, and they're just floating along like most of us do in life. We're just floating along. And here they are presented with a situation. They're in the darkness. They're out there facing the elements of life. And here comes Jesus walking on the water. This is something that I believe that every one of us in this room need to understand, is if we're going to be in the place that God wants us to be, we have to understand that this is how Jesus comes to us. He comes to us through the supernatural. He doesn't need a boat. And it's amazing to me that the disciples that walk with Jesus physically, that they were shocked when Jesus showed up in the supernatural. They freaked out. They got scared. Oh, it's a ghost. Yeah, that's the response. Ooh, it's a ghost. And they got all scared. They all started hugging each other. These were manly men. They were fishermen. They don't hug. All of a sudden, they're, it's a ghost. Let me tell you, it was a ghost, all right. It was the Holy Ghost, and he was showing up. You know, Peter gets a bad rap, and I think too many times we focus on the negative about this story rather than the positive. But there was way more positive in this story. You know, we always want to jump to the fact that Peter, he got his eyes off of Christ and he started sinking, but let's realize something about Peter. Is there were 12 disciples in the boat, but only one walked on water. All 12 of them could have walked on water. You realize that's the way the story could have went. And unfortunately, I believe that is indicative of the church today of who walks in the supernatural and who doesn't. Maybe 1 in 12. Maybe 1 in 12 operates in the gifts of the Spirit. We say we're Pentecostal. We say we've had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. We say we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But the reality is, how many of us are truly walking in the gifts of the Spirit? How many of us are truly walking in the supernatural that God desires to do in our lives? And here I love, man, Peter, man, you got to give it to him, man. He was like, all right, Jesus, if that's you and you're walking on water, I want to walk on water too. You know what? This is going to really, really mess with some of you and your philosophy about miracles. You ready for that? Ready? And I'm not going to say anything that's not in the Word of God. And you should never take anything from anybody unless they can back it up in the Word of God. Amen? Peter got to walk on water. He got to experience the supernatural, the miraculous power of Christ by walking on water. And he didn't need to walk on water. You know why that messes with a lot of our philosophy in the church today? Is because some of us think the only time we can have a miracle is when we have some big need. But do you know what the power of a miracle is, church? Listen to this. Do you know what the power of a miracle is? The power of the miracle is not the miracle itself. The power of a miracle is that when God does a miracle, then people have to stand back and realize and recognize that there is a supernatural God and he is alive and he is well and he is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Peter got to walk on water because he wanted to? You're talking about a lake ministry without a boat payment, without boat insurance. You know, the reason why that messes with it, because so many of us, we look at miracles as things that come along in life when we have some big need, but the reality is God wants us all to be experiencing miracles. Because every time God does a miracle, then he gets the glory. People have to say, wow, Jesus is alive. There is a God, and he is alive, and he's able to do something that is supernatural. See, that's the reason why when we found out that my daughter, in fact, today, she was at Scottish Rite Children's Hospital in Dallas, Texas, having a follow-up on her disease. When we found out, she's 13 years old now, when we found out at 16 months old that she had a rare incurable disease with tumors on her brain and her heart, when we found out that, the good thing about incurable diseases is when God heals her, then he gets all the glory. Because the doctors already said, we don't have the answer. There's no surgery, there's no medicine, there's no procedure. So see, when God does miracles, he gets the glory. It lifts up God's kingdom and pushes down man's kingdom. That's why God wants you to be operating in the supernatural and experience miracles. You see, the reality is that it's the easy thing to stay in the boat. That's the easy thing. It's the easy thing not to operate in the supernatural. You know, the other 11 disciples, they stayed in the boat. You know, the thing about staying in the boat, where so many of us think that that's the easy way, let me tell you, when you stay in the boat, then you are subject to the natural laws. In other words, when the wind and the waves began to come in, then you are subject to that. When the storms of life and the waves and the wind began to affect the water, then if you're in the boat, then you're subject to that. And you can be bashed up against the rocks. You can be overturned. You can be drowned. But how many knows if you're walking on top of the water, then it doesn't matter how high the waves get in life. It doesn't matter how bad the storm is. Come on, saints of God. It doesn't matter what the enemy throws at you. If you're out of the boat and on top of walking on the water, then it doesn't matter how high the waves get. You are going to overcome that. You are going to walk above that. It's not the easy thing to stay in the boat. Now, the thing about this, I want you to notice something, maybe you've never noticed this before about this story, is when Peter said to Jesus, okay, Jesus, if that's you walking on water, then I want to come to you and I want to walk on water too. Do you know what? Sometimes it's way more powerful of what Jesus did not say as opposed to what he did say. You say, what do you mean? This is what I mean. Peter? You kidding me? You want to be the one walking on water? Do you know what you're going to do on the night that I get betrayed? You're going to cut somebody's ear off. You're going to deny that you even knew me. You're gonna flip out. You're gonna say I'm not a Christian, that I don't know Jesus Christ, and you want to walk. Let me tell you something. If Peter qualifies to get a walk on water, then you and I do too. We're all in. Okay, that's good news, church. Because let me tell you, all the things that Jesus could have said, but he didn't. You know what he said to Peter? He didn't snap his fingers and say, okay, be out here walking on water. You know what he said? He said, come. And you know what that one word is the word that I want to key in on tonight, because every one of us need to understand this, because so many of us think that miracles are based upon our need in our life. But the reality is the only reason we don't get our miracles is not because God doesn't want us. It's because we don't want to talk about this one step that God always requires, and that is he always requires a step of faith. And everything about the step of faith to see a miracle happen will never, ever, 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 ever make sense. Because when you're standing on the side of the boat and you have to take one step out of the boat onto the water, nothing about that makes sense. Because everything in your mind and your brain and the rest of your 11 friends back in the boat are all saying, oh boy, here we go. This is going to be fun. Hey, Peter, you need a life jacket? Hey, Peter, you want us to tie a rope around you? Everything in your brain is saying, don't do this. Don't step out of the boat. Are you crazy? It's the middle of the night. The wind and the waves are going. And everything in your flesh will always tell you, don't take the step of faith. Because let me tell you, if you can make sense of it, it's not supernatural. If you can wrap your mind around it as a man, then it's not counted upon God. And throughout Scripture, we see this played out. Like the time Peter came up to Jesus. Do you know that April 15th is in the Bible? Tax day. Peter came up to Jesus one day, said, Jesus, we got to pay our taxes. Is it a little consoling to know that even Jesus had to pay taxes? Nah, not really, does it? Doesn't really help, does it? Peter came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, we got to pay our taxes. And Jesus said, okay, pay our taxes. And Peter says, don't have any money to do that. Anybody feel that? You know, Jesus felt your pain. Yes, he did. And after Peter says to Jesus, don't have any money to pay your taxes, Jesus nonchalantly says, okay, Peter, go fishing. The first fish you catch, reach inside its mouth, and there'll be enough money to pay our taxes. Jesus, I'm being serious. We have to pay our taxes. Don't joke around about this. Have you ever heard of the IRS, Jesus?
They will get you. Jesus says, no, I'm being for real. You see, the reality is we read throughout Scripture all these stories and accounts, and we just accept it because it's in the Word of God. But the reality is, there was really a moment on this earth that Jesus told Peter, go fishing. First fish you catch, reach inside its mouth, and there will be enough money to pay our taxes. Do you know how ridiculous that sounds? But this is my philosophy. If Peter gets to fish for his taxes, then I should be able to fish for my taxes too. Thanks for the one amen. Got one fisherman here. Because God said he's not a respecter of persons. Come on. We're going to hold Jesus accountable to this. And you know what? If it's a big enough fish for me to reach my hand in there and they got some money in there, then that's going to be a big fish too. Step of faith. He had to take a step of faith. Remember the wedding? Remember the wedding reception? Jesus and his mother was at. Remember that? And they ran out of punch. And Jesus, his mother, comes up and says, Jesus, they ran out of punch, and you need to do something. See, people say that Jesus didn't get special treatment, but let me tell you something, friends. If I would have talked to my mom like he responded to his mom that day, you know what he said? He said, woman, it's not my time. Let me tell you, if I would have said that to my mom, it would have been my time. I would not be here today preaching to you, I can assure you. Bam! You're going to meet Jesus right now. Woman, not my time. Last thing I ever said. But not even Jesus gets out from underneath the power of a mom. She was like, whatever, Jesus. And she turned to the servants. She said, just do whatever he says. And Jesus pointed over to some water jars and he said, go fill them up with water. Can't you just hear them saying, like, well, could we help you out with some, like, 7-Up and sherbet or something to get you started, or, you know. Step of faith. You're going to have a miracle, you got to have a step of faith. You want to be healed of leprosy? Then go dip yourself 7 times in a muddy river. That does not make sense. I am way too dignified for that. Do you know who you're talking to? Let me tell you, if you want your miracle bad enough, you'll be willing to do whatever it takes. Time and time throughout Scripture, there was always a step of faith required. Peter on the side in the edge of the boat, take a step of faith. All you have to do is take one step out of the natural, one step out of the boat, take one step toward God, and I guarantee you, he will run the rest of the way to show you that he is a supernatural God, and he is not afraid to hand out thousands and millions of miracles. He's not afraid to show his supernatural power. He wants to show you that you can walk on water. As some of the young people in this church know. And in fact, this summer we'll be back here in the state of Wisconsin speaking at one of your youth camps. For these 15 years that I've been an evangelist, one of the highlights of my year is to be able to speak at youth camps during the summer at states across our nation. And for those that have never been to youth camp, I can tell you that as the speaker, there are certain things that I did not sign up for to be the speaker. You know, I'm there to preach. I'm there to pray with young people on the altar and to see God break through. But let me tell you, there are things that they don't tell you until you show up. There is food that you have to eat that Jesus couldn't even bless. I have been blobbed, and if you don't know what being blobbed is, you don't want to know what being blobbed is. I have had all kinds of experiences. I've been through Mud Mountain. I have had people that are supposed to be ministers connive at 1 o'clock in the morning to put a full-grown size mannequin dummy, call it what you want to, dress completely in clothes and a hat, and stick it into my bathroom in my cabin that they had me at, and stand outside of the window to wait until I walked in at 1 o'clock at night to hear me scream like a little girl. Because there's somebody sitting in my toilet. I'm there to pray for children and see them break through when they're doing evil, demon things. I am particularly reminded of a camp up in the state of Washington. Beautiful, beautiful place, beautiful camp, beautiful state. But for some unknown reason, pray for those people out in Washington, because they got in their minds as a good entertainment for young people to come to camp is one of the things we need to do for kids is we need to offer them the chance to do a 60-foot high zip line. Now, I realize there may be brain-dead people in this room that might appeal to, but for those that have half a brain, you realize that you were not meant to be 60 feet in the air jumping off a perfectly good platform. I thought that week we were having a good camp. I really did. I mean, we were having good altar calls. Kids said they were getting saved. Thought things were breaking through. But halfway through the camp, something showed me that we weren't having such the good camp that I thought we were having spiritually, and that was the day that the young people got together and thought it would be a good day for the speaker to go do the 60-foot zip line. They ganged around me like an angry mob. They pressed me up against this big old tree. And they said, you need to do the zip line. I said, nope, don't need to do that. Thank you very much. They said, yeah, you need to do that. I said, no thanks, got a wife and I got a daughter that needs her daddy. They didn't care. They pressed me up against this tree. They said, come on, you can do it. I said, no, I can't. Don't have to prove anything anymore. Don't care. I'm here to preach and pray, not to go splat. They said, come on, it'll be fun, it'll be great. Come on, look at these little 13-year-old girls zipping up the tree and zipping down the zip line. I said, yeah, but there's a big difference. You see, my brain's fully developed. Theirs isn't yet. They're 13. They said, it's safe. Oh, really? Why are you wanting me to sign a release waiver and put on a helmet? I couldn't get out of it. I begged, I pleaded, I tried every tactic possible. Did not matter. Let me tell you, this tree, they didn't have nice little steps up this tree to this platform 60 feet in the air. It was, you had to climb the tree, and it was so dangerous that they had to put you in a harness and hook you to a cable just to make sure you didn't fall out of the tree before you had a chance to do it on purpose. So here I climb up this tree and I am crying out to God. I am interceding. I'm asking for divine intercession here, all right? I am climbing up this tree and I am not playing. I am scared to death. I don't want to do this. I don't. I am scared to death. I do not want to go up this tree and jump off and yeehaw, have fun. No, not my idea of fun. And so I'm climbing up this tree and finally I get 60 feet in the air to this platform and there is an 18-year-old young man that's running the zip line that's way too cheery to be 60 feet in the air. And he's like, hey, dude, isn't this cool? I said, I'm going to knock you off of this and see how cool that is, dude. So it affects your vocabulary at 60 feet in the air. And all you can say is, dude. I get up there and I'm just shaking. I'm so afraid. I don't want to do this. He gets me hooked up to the zip line and he says, okay, you can go. I'm like, calm down there, Turbo. You know, it's okay. No rush. All the young people are down on the ground. They look like ants. They're so far away. And I go, come on. Come on, you can do it. I'm like, shut up. You can't hear what I'm saying. Hi, shut up, you little varmints. Hey. Demons, I'm going to cast you out tonight. The problem with this zip line is when you're sitting on the platform, the small wire attached to the big wire, it's not tight when you're sitting on the platform. There's extra play in it. It's too long while you're sitting on the platform. You gotta jump off first, let gravity take over, stretch it out before you feel the security of the cable. I'm sitting up there praying, interceding, telling God it's a great time for the rapture. I'm halfway there. God's supposedly supposed to have your back, but we're still here, aren't we? I finally get to that place. I mean, all the young people are getting restless. I've sat up there for a while. I mean, I have thought about climbing back down. I didn't care. I don't care how embarrassing that may be, but I thought about it, and I'm like, nah, that's too dangerous. There's way too many things hit on the way down. And I just finally got to that edge, and I couldn't go any further without going off. And I finally just had to come to that place that if I'm ever going to get down from here, I've got to jump. And I jumped. And you know that feeling that your stomach comes up in your throat. That moment happened, and I'm like, you know, I jump, and all of a sudden gravity takes over, and my cable spreads out, and it tightens up, and all of a sudden I feel the security of the cable, and I go zooming over the crowd, and I'm zooming down the zip line, and all of a sudden I became Big Bad Evangelist, and I went, ah! You know what? It was fun. Wow, what a rush. I land over at the platform that you end up on. All the young people rush over there and they go, cool, wasn't it fun? Come on, Ron, wasn't it fun? Don't you want to do it again? No. Do you know what? It was fun. And if I would have never went up there and jumped off that platform, I would have never experienced what it was like to jump off a 60-foot high zip line. And you know, it's the same way with the supernatural and the miracles that God is asking you. You're on the edge. It doesn't make sense. It won't make sense. As soon as you come to terms with the fact that it will never make sense, that step of faith that God is asking you to take, as soon as you come to terms with that, the quicker you'll get to the place that you'll receive your testimony and your miracle. I don't know about you, but if the story would have been about me walking on water, I don't think it would have been walking on water. I think it would have been running and jumping and skipping around and going acting like an idiot on water. You kidding me? I'm walking on water. Woohoo! Come on, Jesus, this is fun. Who needs a boat? Let's do it. What would happen if we had the 11 walking on water and the one back in the boat? What would happen in the church today if we could have the majority operating in the supernatural and doing miracles? You know what would happen? There'd be no empty places. There'd be no empty spots in churches across America. You know what the best advertisement will always be? It won't be billboards. It won't be nice websites. It won't be slick promotions or posters or anything else. It won't be any of that. You know what it'll be? is when people of God begin to operate in the supernatural and begin to experience miracles. And you know what? You won't be able to keep people away from here. Because you know what? People want the supernatural. I've seen it. See, some of you walk in here tonight and you're not even in a relationship with God and you say, I don't believe it. Let me tell you, I've seen two women raised from the dead. I saw a 23-year-old young lady fall over dead, stone cold dead in an altar at a church service just like this. She was running from God. You think you got time? You think you got time to mess around with God? You think you got time to step out in the supernatural and accept his forgiveness and his love? 23 years old, didn't know that she had a heart condition, 2 months pregnant, running from God, been separated from her husband for an entire year, and she fell over stone cold dead in the middle of an altar call that she had raised her hand to say, I need Jesus, but she wasn't willing to walk to an altar, wasn't willing to take one step toward God. She fell over stone cold dead. Don't you dare believe that you have one more minute to mess around. Don't you dare believe that you can take any more time to stay back in the boat and play it safe. Your high school needs you to take a step of faith. Your family needs you to take a step of faith. Your church needs you to take a step of faith. God needs you to take a step of faith. You know what? Somebody began to do CPR. Somebody began to do mouth-to-mouth. Somebody called an ambulance, but it took the ambulance 20 minutes to get there. I walked back to a stone-cold, dead young lady, and no matter how much she wanted to live, no matter how much she wanted and had the reason to live for, she had 2-year-old twin little boys in that church building that night. You know what I found out that night? The dead count on the living. The only hope that she had was that the rest of us that were alive in Jesus Christ would cry out to God and believe that God could do a miracle. And you know what? She was raised from the dead. After over 20 minutes laying there, she was blue. I touched her cold blue forehead. I had a pastor's wife die right in front of me in a four-wheeling accident. She was flipped off her four-wheeler with no helmet. She was slammed flew through the air as she clipped a tree, and she was slammed into the ground and her head whiplashed back. And when her head whiplashed into the ground with no helmet, there was a rock right underneath her head and smashed her brain into that rock. There is no rhyme or reason why she should be alive today. She had a massive brain injury. She went to heaven. Powerful, powerful testimony. We had nothing in the natural. We had no access to ambulance. We were out in the mountains of Montana. There was no cell phone signals. There was no ambulances. And it didn't even matter if there was. It was a massive brain injury. And she was instantly killed. And she was laying there cold and lifeless as her husband picked her up in his arms. And he began to rock back and forth. A mighty man of God, the pastor of that church. And he began to say, Renee, 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 you cannot leave me. And he began to say, Ron, she has no heartbeat. She's not breathing. She's dead. She's gone. And let me tell you, at 16 years old at an Assembly of God church in Western Oklahoma, I'm so glad that I realized that day that it wasn't an option whether I was going to get full of the Holy Spirit, because God says, I'm going to give you a heavenly language when I bless you with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because there will be times in your life that you don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit will know how to pray. And he began to intercede through me on a mountain, and 20 minutes later she came back to life, and today she is alive and well. Come on, saints of God. God is a miracle working God. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen babies with holes in their hearts instantly healed. You know, I've been through cancer and it spread through my lymphatic system. I should be dead today because my doctor thought he got it all and wasn't doing the follow-up. But God is a mighty healer. And tonight, God wants to do some miracles in this room. I want everybody to stand with me, if you would, please, tonight. I'm going to leave you with this one thing out of the Word of God. says in verse 30, but when he saw the wind, this was Peter, when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? You know what Jesus did not do? You know what he said when he was just saying, you have little faith, why did you? You know what he was saying? He's like, I was right here the whole time. Why did you start doubting? I've never let you down. I've never failed you. Every time that you've given your tithes to me through your church, have I ever failed you? Every time you've given an offering, every time you've taken a step of faith to do the ministry that God has asked you to do, let me tell you what Jesus will never do if you're willing to take a step of faith. Even if you start to doubt, he will not let you sink. He will not let you drown. That's not part of the deal. There is a warranty. There is a guarantee that comes with taking a step of faith. Even if you doubt, even if you take your eyes off of Jesus for a little bit and you start to sink, Jesus did not let Peter sink. He didn't say, well, sorry, Peter, too bad. Well, you should have believed. Well, you shouldn't have had doubt. No, he didn't do that. He reached out, lifting him up, and they walked back together. There is a guarantee, there is a warranty when you take a step of faith with God. God will not let you down. What are you afraid of to take a step of faith? I want you to bow your heads with me. Nikki, do you mind coming and playing? Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, I thank you for the people that are here tonight. God, some come from a long distance, some come from very close. But Lord, tonight I realize and recognize that there are people here tonight that do not even know you. They are not walking with you, but you want to let them know tonight that you love them, that you care about them. God, the greatest miracle that any of us could ever, ever experience in our lives, the greatest miracle and the greatest step of faith that will ever be required in our lives is that we take that step of faith toward God in salvation and we ask for God to forgive us of our sins and to love us and accept us just the way we are. God, we find out through scriptures, we find out in 1 John that if we confess our sins, you will be faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, I thank you and I praise you tonight. Lord, I thank you for that day that I took that chance and I stepped out of the boat. I don't understand how you could love me. I don't understand how you could forgive me, Lord. But you have proven in my life, if I'll only trust you, if I'll only believe in you, that you are my Lord, you are my God, and you are my Savior, and you went to the cross for me, if I'll only believe that, believe in you as my Lord and my Savior, that you will accept me just the way I am. Lord, we know tonight that it's not about getting our act cleaned up before we come to you. It's not about having things worked out and getting things right and getting things out of our life that shouldn't be there. No, God, you said, come just as you are, Lord, as we sing that worship song tonight, come just as you are, God. We come tonight, no matter how far away from you that we are, no matter what is in our lives. Oh, God, you said, come. God, I pray tonight that someone would take that step towards you. God, I'll never forget that night that young lady, she said, I need Jesus. I need God. I need to commit my life to Christ. I need to repent of my sins. I need to dedicate my heart and my soul to God. But she wasn't willing to take one little step toward God. Thankfully, God, you're the God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. But God, we are never guaranteed of another chance. The only chance that we know that we have is the chance that we have right now, right tonight. God, yesterday, evening right before church started. We passed two ambulances speeding away from an accident just a few miles from here. God, I don't know if anybody died. I don't know if they were seriously injured, but somebody got in their car and they were headed somewhere that they assumed they would get there, but they didn't. They ended up speeding in an ambulance toward the hospital, maybe to save their lives, maybe to help them after they've been injured in a severe way. God, we're not guaranteed. That young lady no doubt thought that she was going to go home that night and put her two little baby twin boys to bed. But she ended up being in the hospital, Lord, having laid there dead for over 20 minutes. Oh God, I pray tonight, Lord, that somebody in this room would know of your love, would know of your forgiveness, and they would be willing to take that one step towards you to say, I need you, God. I know I'm not living for you. I know I'm not right. I know I need you. I know that just like everybody else in this room, at some point in their life, if they are a Christian, they had to take this step of faith. We've all been there, and I pray for that person tonight, even if this is just for one person, that they would take that step out of their boat of their life, and they would take a step toward Jesus, because just as he said to Peter, he says to every one of us tonight that does not know him, come, come just as you are. I want to ask right now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I don't need to say anything else. You know what I'm asking. You're here tonight. You're not living for God. You know you're not in a right relationship with God. Maybe you used to serve God. Maybe you've never served God. But the reality is tonight, you know and you understand you need Jesus. That is the only way you'll ever get to heaven. That's the only way that you'll ever experience eternity with God, is if you take a step toward him and you repent and you ask him into your heart. It's very simple. You take one step toward him, he'll take 10 toward you. It's not about getting something figured out. It's not about leaving here and working something out before you come. No, it's just as you are. That's how God said, just come just as you are, and he'll love you and he'll accept you. Can I pray for you tonight? You're here tonight. All the heads are bowed. This is a private moment between you and God. I just want to know who to pray for tonight. You say, Ron, that's me. I need Jesus. I need to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, whether you used to serve him or whether you've never served him. Tonight is a night that you are dedicating your life to Jesus Christ. You're going to take a step out of the boat. You're going to take a step of faith. I want you just to quickly just raise your hand up and say, yes, that's me. I need to prayer to commit my life to Jesus Christ. I just want to know who I'm praying for, and then you can put it right back down. I just want to pray for you. Thank you so much. Somebody else, you would say, yes, that's me. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Just quickly raise up your hand so I know who to pray for, and you can put it right back down. Okay, I want to ask one other question. This is to every person in this room. It's as simple as this. You need a miracle. You need a supernatural miracle. God's the only one that can provide in this situation. You're a Christian. You love God. And tonight, it's as simple as this. You need a job. You need a financial miracle. You need a physical miracle. You need a healing. You need a deliverance. You need to overcome something in your life. You need a miracle. And you want to walk on water. You want to walk out of here tonight experiencing your miracle. And you truly believe that in the year 2011, God is still doing miracles and the word of God is still true today. You need a miracle tonight. I want to agree with you. Raise your hand up high and say, yes, that's me.